For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
National media really not feeling the Seattle Seahawks right now. Two recent examples, though far from the only ones. And some of you might be thinking, oh, that's ridiculous. No one's believing us. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you for that. But
is this
go ahead.
Some classic East Coast bias?
It could be.
Is that what this is?
It's exactly what it is.
Could be.
I am infuriated, and I haven't even heard what we're going to be talking about.
Well, let me tell you.
That is, Curtis, you join the 99% of Seahawks fans that will be hearing this right
well,
now.
Well, right. Let's look at it, and let's try to decide whether or not we agree. Not blindly. I mean, really try to look at why they might feel this way, and then whether or not we agree. And I'm going to guess that we don't fully agree, but I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit and try to tell you what they're saying. So here we go. We'll start with Pro Football Focus Sam Monson, who has Seattle at number, you want to guess, out of 32?
I'm going to guess 32.
32 in his latest NFL power rankings. This is what Sam says. When you remove Russell Wilson from the equation in Seattle, it becomes immediately apparent how bad the situation around him had become over the years, with Wilson's play hiding the true extent of the damage. It doesn't help that the quarterback competition between Drew Lock and Geno Smith represents the worst quarterback situation in the league. We've become accustomed to thinking of Seattle as a playoff contender, but that was only a constant so long as their quarterback was elite, and that's far from the case now. So that is what Pro Football Focus's Sam Monson has to say about his NFL power rankings, which has the Seattle Seahawks at number 32. In sum, look, they had a lot of holes on their roster that are going to be exposed without Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and also you go to Bill Barnwell from the NFL, the team that had the worst offseason in the league, according to him. He highlights the quarterback situation as well.
So he says, Bill Barnwell says, the Seahawks, quote, simply didn't get enough for a superstar in the prime of his career. He was holding out they'd get a viable replacement under center. I will counter with Bill Barnwell that I don't think there was a viable replacement under center available. However, he said they're about to head into 2022 with Locke and Smith as their two quarterbacks. They went from having a true superstar under center to having two replacement-level veterans and no clear path toward their next franchise passer. That's a disaster. Again, I would argue against the last part. But both analysts saying very simply, you had the worst offseason or heading into, you know, the bottom of the power rankings because you don't have a quarterback anymore and you weren't a team that had an elite roster and then a good quarterback. You were a team that had a great quarterback that was covering up some holes. So if you are a Seahawks fan hearing this, you're probably thinking, you're right. Or you might be thinking, I don't agree with you. I think that they've actually improved the rest of the roster and the quarterback will come along. Maybe you're hearing it and you're thinking, I actually really like Drew Lock. I think he can be great. I like Geno Smith. I think he can be good. But however you feel, Jake, how are you feeling about it?
Well, I don't believe that they're the 32nd best team in the NFL, that they are dead last in the NFL and that they will be the holder of the number one overall pick come the 2023 NFL draft. I would be very surprised by that, to be quite honest with you. However, what I see their ceiling as, I'm not as bullish on Greg Rosenthal is about the Seattle Seahawks, who he said, look, the ceiling for this team, if everything breaks right for them, is a winning team with a winning record, and with how bad the NFC is, there is a potential that maybe they find themselves into the playoffs. The problem with that statement is everything has to break right. And with a rebuild, and over the last couple years, as we have seen, when this organization has put certain position groups in limbo, or, hey, there are certain question marks about this team, it has not broke right for them recently. And unless that trend changes, I feel that the best that I could see for this team is a 7-win team. That's the ceiling that I see for them. Where I could also see very easily where the floor is that they secure a top 5 pick in this coming draft. That's the range that I feel like they're at. And as I have said before, I am not judging this year based on wins and losses. That doesn't mean that this year you're not going to watch them be competitive in games in every game that they play. Yeah, that doesn't account for the development that you see from young players. When you play as many young guys as you're going to play this year at key pivotal positions, there are going to be mistakes. There are going to be growing pains, and ultimately you want to see how they develop throughout the course of the season. And you want to be ending the season on a high note, feeling good about where the foundation of this team really is.
Yeah, I agree more with Monson's analysis than I do with Barnwell's. I can see why both men wrote what they did and believe what they do about Seattle's roster. And I am probably not nearly as high on Seattle as a team as are many Seahawks fans. Like, sorry, this is just how I view the team. I'm going to be a little more critical. But Barnwell, for instance, points to them taking Ken Walker as some other things that went wrong. Do I think that it is going to be easy, or even certainly not probable, for Pete Carroll to repeat the 2013 squad he had? No, because I think an important and often overlooked part, in fact, two important and often overlooked parts of that squad are, one, Marshawn Lynch,
mm-hmm.
and two, Russell Wilson, who is and was a much better quarterback than people gave him credit for. I think people look back on Russell Wilson in 2013 and think that he was, I don't know, like just some basic everyday dude.
Like a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right, which is certainly not the case. I mean, he made more mistakes than he did as a veteran, but he wasn't a guy in his second year who was trash. This is a guy who was getting people around the league pretty excited about what he could become. And importantly, was on a rookie deal, right? I think that, though, the formula to get to a Super Bowl is to have that guy, that passer, that quarterback, and find a way to get other pieces around him through good drafting.
Now,
but I think that Seattle trying to shore up the running backs by bringing in Ken Walker was not a bad decision, and I don't think it's as backwards. And you have Bill Barnwell saying that the Seahawks should know more than any other team that getting a late round selection at running back works out. I would also say, though, that I wouldn't point to Chris Carson in the 7th round and saying you could do that every time.
Right, because they haven't been able to do that. I mean,
yeah.
You could go through the history of how the Seahawks have done with their running back selections over the years and point out, like, oof, it's not as easy as it makes it is as it looks. And yeah, for every Chris Carson, there is a Christine Michael, right? Like there is, every time you could point to that, there have been more misses at the running back position than there have been hits. And so when you have an opportunity to get a clear difference maker like Kenneth Walker could potentially be for this team, mm-hmm. you take advantage of that opportunity, knowing that you've got more capital to go and address some of the other premium positions that you have. And that's why I think what the Seahawks did was actually very smart. They got Boye Mafe. They addressed their edge positional need. They addressed the right tackle position, Abraham Lucas. They addressed the cornerback group. It didn't stop them from being able to address these other positions. So that's why I don't really look at that and say I feel any different. But you kept saying something, Stacey, that I wanted to come back to and ask you this question. You kept taking objection to Bill Barnwell and Monson saying something about the quarterback situation and how it is a disaster that they don't have a replacement for that quarterback. Why do you feel that way?
No. I was taking objection to Barnwell saying that that there was some kind of answer this year. I don't think there was. I wasn't intrigued by any free agent options. There were some trade options that like might have been good. For instance, Deshaun Watson, an exceptionally talented quarterback. Would you want Deshaun Watson in Seattle? I think a lot of people would say no. I think a lot of people would say they'd have a hard time rooting for him. There was also a draft in which no other team outside of Pittsburgh took a quarterback in the first round. So you're telling me that Seattle was stupid not to do it when 31 other teams didn't?
No, I don't think that's what Bill Barnwell is saying.
That's literally what he said.
No, what I believe he is saying is that you decided to move on from Russell Wilson and did not have a replacement in line. You don't have a replacement, whether that is via trade, and the Seahawks would argue differently with Bill Barnwell and say, well, we've got Drew Lock. We feel like he has the potential to be a very good fit here in Seattle, and we're excited and optimistic to see what he can do. Okay, that's what the Seahawks would say. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what they would respond with. What Bill Barnwell's saying is that with other organizations in the past, okay, just think about great quarterbacks that people have moved on from, mm-hmm. okay, right, wrong, or indifferent, how it's worked out. They move on, Patriots move on from Tom Brady, they go and draft Mac Jones. The Green Bay Packers move on from Brett Favre, there's Aaron Rodgers, right? The San Francisco 49ers move on from Joe Montana, there's Steve Young. Right, you look at some of these other examples, and
overwhelmingly, that's luck.
They already have a replacement in mind, in house, that they have been preparing for. And so that is where I think that you could point to this and say, yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal to go into this offseason or to go into this season and not feel like you have the quarterback of the future already in line and in place. The San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, they're moving on from him. They've got Trey Lance waiting in the wings. Like they've already planned that succession out. Now we'll see if it's successful or not. But you are taking a tremendous risk, saying, well, potentially the 2023 draft, we could find our answer. That is not a secure.
No
place
matter
to
what
be.
You do, when you move on from a guy who's a franchise passer, you're taking some kind of risk moving on. And overwhelmingly, teams don't do what Indianapolis did when they moved from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, who obviously ended up not being a long-term answer, or the Green Bay Packers, who have had maybe the best quarterback situation of any franchise with essentially three guys over the last how many decades. Like
right.
That doesn't work out for most teams. Most teams have a guy for a long period of time. Then a couple years of an okay guy, then they find someone else. Or more often than not, they have one or two great passers or one or two great eras and then just cycle
sure.
through repeats and
yeah.
cycle through being a wild card or maybe get to a championship game but not advance. Like the Super Bowl winners and Super Bowl contenders of the last 20 years have overwhelmingly been the same handful of teams and quarterbacks.
Correct.
For the same reason, which is that those guys are typically part of the secret formula to get you to a Super Bowl. What I worry isn't necessarily... Yes, I worry Seattle won't find that guy because it is hard for any team to find that guy. I think what I worry about more, though, is that there are fans that have the assumption that you don't need that guy.
Mm.
That I disagree with, and those are two different things to me. Knowing you need that guy and then struggling to find him is one thing because ultimately you have the goal to find him and you're willing to do what you need to do to get him. Thinking you don't need that guy, to me, is hubris, and that's ultimately going to cost you because I can't think of the last time that genuinely, without someone... Like, let's play don't say Trent Dilfer game, right? Without someone pointing to two examples over the last 20 years or so, throw in Joe Flacco maybe, overwhelmingly you need that guy. And I get frustrated when people think that they can break the formula and that you don't need a quarterback. And as long as Seattle is set on finding that guy, I feel better about their future than I would otherwise.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you just said there. What I'm saying is again, what I'm coming back to and why I think that Bill Barnwell has the strongest reaction that he does is that if you're just looking objectively at the offseason, that is a problem that you're now going into from having a top-flight quarterback in Russell Wilson to, I mean, without a doubt, the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. I mean, that is a big drop-off for a team that has – really been able to have the benefit of having somebody like Russell Wilson under center, right? And so that is going to be a big difference for this organization and a problem that they have dealt with before. When Pete Carroll and John Schneider got here, their quarterback situation was not set in stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. And what they focused on was building up the roster around them, and eventually they were able to find Russell Wilson. Thank goodness, right? But now they're in that same position again. And what they have to do is they have to be right in their decisions with Ken Walker and what they decide to do at the running back position. They have to be right with Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas at the offensive line and laying down the foundation. They have to be right with some of the decisions that they've made in the at the cornerback room and with the defensive line. They have to be right in laying down that foundation to be able to buoy up the problem right now that they have, or the weak link that they have, which is not having a true, you know, franchise quarterback on their roster. Everyone else needs to be better around them and needs to be great to be able to, you know, hide that particular flaw. And so we'll see if they can do that, or at least put themselves on the right foot or the right footing for that. And that's going to be critical for them. And that's what I'm going to be excited and interested to watch all season long, how they develop. Pete Carroll getting this opportunity and this coaching staff to do what he does best, I truly believe, to do what he does best, and that is developing his players from start to finish throughout the course of the season. And that, to me, is going to be the biggest thing that I'm watching.
I do wonder if, when it comes to this kind of breakup between the two parties, if part of it is them feeling like, look, we had a choice to make. We could move forward with Russell Wilson, which is what Bill Barnwell argues they should have done. He said they should have fired Carroll and moved on with Wilson. I wonder if what the Seahawks thought is, eventually we have to make Wilson the highest paid, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and build around him. Do we believe in him enough that we think he's, like, we think he's a top five guy? Do we think he's a Tom Brady? Do we think he's an Aaron Rodgers? Or do we want to roll the dice and find someone else? And I wonder if they just decided, like, we believe in him, but not enough to throw our philosophy
100%. Not to that extent. And also, not only to not that extent, but to the point where you have to sit back and say, all right, are we going to pay, again, $35 million, move that up to, at the time, 45 is what you're thinking. Who knows what it's going to be, you know, by the time next offseason, and not really believe in totally making this whole thing around the offense. That's not Pete Carroll's philosophy. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to put all of those resources when you believe in having a strong roster all across the board, as Pete Carroll does.
All right, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, a professional poker player was arrested yesterday on charges stemming from a $25 million sports betting scheme. What's the real headline?
Yes, we know what Phil Mickelson's been up to. Now, this is a joke about Phil Mickelson having a $40 million in gambling losses over a four-year span. Not necessarily a reference to the fact that Phil Mickelson and what he did is nearly as bad as what this guy did, which is quite literally scam people, victims, out of $25 million over the period of about 15 years.
It is one of the saddest things that I have heard and seen, and it's just crazy. I wonder, you know, Stacey, you put in this headline about Phil Mickelson. Do you think he was a part of it, or do you think he was a victim?
Did he account for 24 of the $25 million?
Yeah.
It's just
like,
this guy keeps frauding.
Yeah, he's just like, man, I keep losing, but you guys keep promising me
again,
that it's going to work out. I'm going to put it down every time. Oh, man, Phil. Oh, Phil. We love you. We love you, Phil Mickelson.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the NFL's motion to have John Gruden's lawsuit against the league was denied by a Nevada judge yesterday. What's the real headline?
Reached for comment, the Raiders said, we brought in Colin Kaepernick for a workout. Look over there. Look at what we're doing over here. Don't talk about
John
Gruden.
We've done so much good.
Look what we did. Now, I think that the Raiders really do have a not-so-great backup quarterback situation, so bringing in Colin Kaepernick makes sense. Totally fair. But yeah, I think, Curtis, you found the timing of this a little
sketch.
A little sketch.
I would be one of those people that thinks it's a little sketch, because how can you avoid bad PR? By creating a distraction, by creating something that everybody wants to talk about and see, which is Colin Kaepernick get back into the NFL. That's what the media is crazed about, right? And I think for the Raiders, I don't know if this is genuine. I don't know if they're there for real, but they brought him in for a workout, and now that's really what the focus is. It is a look squirrel moment, and you know. But the one problem is for the Raiders is that this John Gruden situation isn't going to go away. So how many of these moments can you really truly create when new information continues to keep getting leaked, as we will eventually find out? And also, we have no idea what's going to happen with the lawsuit from the former team president against Mark Davis and the Raiders. So there's a lot of fires to put out, and you know, this was one situation that they could have tried to distract the audience, but we'll find out if they can continue to keep doing it.
Take out the Washington Commanders. Which NFL organization is just the messiest?
I mean, I think the Raiders are up there.
I
think they
I
are
don't know if
very,
the Raiders
very
are
much up
one
there.
One after Washington. You have the
quickly
Jags
becoming
that
way.
Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah, Jacksonville. I mean, they're still pretty messy. Shad Khan does not run a
The
very
Browns
good
are
ship.
Much better. They were for a while, though.
The Browns are still up there, too. Anytime Jimmy Haslam has got his fingers on something.
Yeah. I mean, look at what they're doing with Baker Mayfield. I mean, it's just...
Well, and the fact that they traded for Deshaun Watson,
yes,
too.
Yes,
100%. Fully guaranteed contract.
It's a disaster. Yeah. It's an absolute disaster. I would say the Raiders right now are in the top five, just based off of recent events. Not necessarily the history, but recent events, the Raiders have become in top five of, like...
dysfunctional organization.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Headline Rewrites.
Got a Vegas theme for all three of these, because I believe this will take place in Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen will participate in the match, a golf exhibition on June 1st. What's the real headline?
Also in attendance will be the families of Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen.
But Stacey, there's one name that you're leaving out.
Well, I'm not leaving him out.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has a family, too.
Will they be in attendance? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Didn't Aaron's little brother got married recently?
Yeah,
can't imagine Aaron was there.
Do you think he was there?
No.
Look,
I'm rooting for them to fix it.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to ruin.
Of course, you should be rooting for the Rodgers family.
So many of my headlines, but I am rooting for. I always root for.
Okay, but what are you rooting for more? That they fix it, or that before they fix it, it becomes a reality TV show that you get to watch?
Oh man, that's a great question, Jake. That they fix it over the course of a reality TV show, and I can watch them heal in real time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew or somebody like that.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly
mediate.
Right.
Dr. Drew? You bring in
Dr.
Drew?
Dr. Phil?
Yeah, I would.
Either
I
one.
Wouldn't Dr. Drew be the guy you'd bring in for that?
Would he?
He's kind of... I mean, his success rate on, like, Celebrity Rehab,
like
not 2%.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
But Dr. Phil, okay.
I take it back then.
Dr. Phil, I think, would be the right person for this. He'd be the absolute right person.
Forget on tonight, actually, you can join Maura Dooley and myself for a special 1 hour show from 6 to 7 p.m. live from Media Row at the 87th Annual Sports Star of the Year Awards. Taking a look around the NFL next.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. This hour of Jake and Stacy brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Looking around the rest of the NFL, we will start with a team Jake has a lot of belief in, the Saints. Where there's not so great news about star receiver Michael Thomas, though not necessarily a setback. Michael Thomas, who sat out the entirety of the 2021 season with an ankle injury, is still unable to participate in practice. New head coach, though, Dennis Allen, says that he expects the Saints wide receiver to be ready for training camp.
I mean, it's just unbelievable to see how injury-ridden Michael Thomas has been after... You know, clearly,
season.
Yeah, a phenomenal season where he clearly put his stamp on being the league's best receiver, right? What was that year, 2019? I believe it was 2019 where he just had an absurd year. 2019, 1,700 yards, nearly 150 receptions and 9 touchdowns. And everybody knew he was going to get the ball. I mean, it was just insane. And you would love to be able to see Michael Thomas be able to get healthy, be able to get back on the field. And I know he's had some issues with the organization off the field as well. That's been part of the controversy. But if he can get himself on the field, along with Chris Olave and with Jarvis Landry, that could be a very dangerous offense.
Brett Hundley, former Seattle Seahawk, has been also with other teams, essentially a journeyman backup quarterback, has signed with a new team, the Baltimore Ravens. They signed him today to back up Lamar Jackson, who is MIA at voluntary OTAs right now. How's that quarterback situation looking to you in Baltimore?
It's very shaky. I mean, you know, I think that there's a lot brewing underneath the surface when it comes to Baltimore. And I know that Lamar Jackson would love to be a Baltimore Raven for life and to be able to get a deal done. I think one of the things that complicates that is that he is his own agent. And I don't think that those conversations are going very well or very productively. So I'm going to be curious to see how that shakes out there. And then also, you know, under the surface, I'm very confused what this organization is doing to actually help improve Lamar Jackson and to give him the tools that he needs to improve as a passer. And I think instead of firing Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, I think that they should have let go of their offensive coordinator. I think that they should have moved to a different offensive system that still highlights Lamar Jackson's running ability, but also is going to help him improve as a passer and as an organization surround him with more weapons. Instead, they've done nothing to provide him with weapons, to be honest with you. It's almost like they've regressed in that area, and I don't see how Lamar Jackson, in terms of long-term, in terms of selfishly for his career, how he could look at what's going on around him and say, yeah, they are helping me become the very best quarterback that I could possibly be.
All right, spotted earlier today at Giants OTAs, Kayvon Thibodeau, working on a stationary bike in a red jersey, which is a no-contact jersey. He was apparently twisted up in last Thursday's OTA, so has apparently suffered some kind of injury, the extent of which is unknown right now.
Well, you certainly hope that it's not a long-term injury for Kayvon Thibodeau and that he is able to get back to action here soon, especially during mandatory minicamp, because he is such an important aspect of what the Giants want to do, what they want to become this year. And speaking of Wink Martindale, him being the defensive coordinator there in New York for the Giants, they need that pass rushing presence to be able to be as aggressive as Wink Martindale wants to be with all the man-to-man coverage that he likes to play with.
It doesn't appear, at least yet, that it seems to have been a serious injury, considering that the injury is a couple days old. Maybe they're just taking it safe, continuing to keep him in that red no-contact jersey. Brian Daboll has already had his press conference with reporters. For today, and I don't think I've been looking around at some of the different beat reporters, and it doesn't look like there's any specific updates on Thibodeau, meaning presumably as of right now, that there isn't this kind of like big serious injury
watching. Well, that's good.
Sounds like they're just playing it safe.
That's good.
Another injured player here, this one out of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs traded away Tyreek Hill, so they're looking at someone to replace some of that production. They're also without Sammy Watkins, who landed with the Green Bay Packers. So instead, receiver Mecole Hardman going to be helping out. Unfortunately, he's dealing with a tweaked hamstring at OTAs.
Well, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening there with all the receiver depth. Another guy that they signed that I'm going to be curious to see what they can get out of is Justin Ross. If you remember him, he was a very, very high-profile receiver at Clemson and just dealt with a lot of injuries. And if he wasn't as injury-ridden through his, you know, late part of his career with Clemson, I think that he would have been one of those high draft picks at the receiver position. So they could potentially be getting a steal in Justin Ross, but certainly Mecole Hardman was the guy that they wanted to help fill the void for Tyreek Hill. And at this time, you never want to see soft tissue injuries with speedy guys like this, because those are things that can linger and can prolong, much like what we saw from D. Eskridge and his ankle issue that ended up keeping him out for a significant chunk of the offseason. Hopefully they're able to rest Mecole Hardman and be able to get him back on the field sooner rather than later.
Adam Sheehan of NFL.com lists the 10 bandwagons that NFL fans must jump on right now. That's individual players as well as teams, but basically his version of hype train. Saying,
okay.
These are the players and the teams that I think are going to impress and surprise people, and you need to get in on it now. I'll start at number 5. He's got 10, but I'll start at 5. He's got the Philadelphia Eagles at number 5. He believes in them this year. He thinks that they should win the NFC East. He's got Cam Akers, running back with the Rams, at number 4. Thinks that the Rams are obviously going to have a great season. Says Sean McVay absolutely loves him, and he expects to see him regularly, that starter in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
He has at number 3... Raiders coach Josh McDaniels.
Really?
Yes, he says the AFC West looks like the toughest division in football, but I still envision McDaniels guiding Vegas to the playoffs in year 1. Number two.
Okay. Okay.
Number two, he has quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who was under the thumb of Urban Meyer. Didn't really get to do much.
that whole disaster.
Jacksonville went nowhere, but he thinks you just can't hold this guy back. He'll remind everyone that he's special in 2022, says Sheehan.
Okay.
And number one, the New Orleans Saints. He says Sean Payton will be missed, no doubt about it. He's a future Hall of Famer, but the Saints have valuable coaching continuity on offense. He likes the coordinators and the talent that they still have. And he said they're able to carry all this forward, which keeps New Orleans relevant in the post-Payton era.
Yeah, and I'm right there with them. As I said before, I really am on the New Orleans Saints hype train. I think that they're going to be a very good football team. I just think that overall they have a very good roster. I like their roster. I like how competitive they can be. Michael Thomas being healthy is one of the biggest aspects of that. But I am going to be curious to see Jameis Winston. Can he build upon what he did successfully last year? And he was not a turnover machine for the Saints, which was a positive. But, you know, he got injured, you know, before the middle of the season, and it really sent the Saints spiraling at the quarterback position and not really finding an answer. So they've got a great defense. You know they have an awesome defense. Dennis Allen is going to be the head coach, so he's still overseeing it. Now it's a matter of can the offense at least provide some balance to the team, and I think just with the overall upgrades that they made in the offseason that they absolutely can.
Last story here, some rule changes for the NFL in 2022 and beyond. Let's start with the injured reserve list. The new rules, teams will now have 8 players who are permitted to return from IR and the non-football injury list. The illness list of 53-man active roster per season. This is a new rule also. An individual player can return from the IR a maximum of twice per season. So it used to be that you could bring up a guy once and you could bring up a maximum of, like, return two guys or something like that. You can have 8 players return. However, if you have a guy return twice, let's say that a Seahawks player injures himself week 2, you put him on the IR so that you can make some room on your roster. You bring him back. He injures himself again, but you want to get him ready for the playoffs, so you put him on there again and bring him back. That counts for 2 of your 8 spots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you get 8 players total that can return twice. You get 8 returns. So you can have 8 times a player can return from IR.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And an individual player can return twice now.
Wow. No, I mean, that's a big deal for NFL teams. I mean, that is a huge deal for NFL teams. And if you just remember, you know, before they started tweaking the IR rule, I mean, it was a significant deal. I mean, it was immovable. If you put a player on IR, they were out, you know, for a significant chunk of time. If they weren't on IR to start the year, there was no chance that they could make themselves back onto the roster if they hit the IR halfway through the season. So I think this is a good move by the NFL.
To prevent too much roster manipulation, basically teams putting guys on IR to, like, move guys around and have some competitive advantages. They've now extended it to 4 games missed. So it used to be if you were on IR, you had to miss a minimum of 3 games before you come back. Now if you go on IR, you have to miss a minimum of 4 games.
Okay,
but again, you can come back twice.
Yeah, so there's more opportunities to return. I like the adjustments to this rule. It's
all right. What is your sports story of the year? The Seattle Sports Star of the Year awards are tonight. One of the awards being given out is for the best sports story of the year. Let's go over the nominees and what you guys would pick. That's next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios
on Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
All right, a couple things to tell you guys. First, Friday, tomorrow is 90s night for the Mariners. The first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive a Mariners neon pink hat. So get your tickets now to watch the M's take on the Astros at mariners.com/tickets. As we know, the three of us made some important sacrifices over the course of the weekend. So that's going to be a series win if we stick to our word. Curtis, looking at you.
What?
if we stick to our word, Curtis.
Okay.
No making fun of UW for 4 days. Okay. Second thing I need you to know.
Luckily, we have Memorial Day off.
Tonight.
Curtis gets an extra day where he doesn't have to put that at risk.
Tonight, you can join Maura, Dooley, and myself for a special one-hour show from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. live from Media Row at the 87th Annual Sports Star of the Year Awards. This event celebrates accomplishments in the world of sports all across the world of sports. So you have the Sports Star of the Year for women's sports, Sports Star of the Year for men's sports, the Story of the Year, and then a number of honorees. Past recipients, by the way, who have been honorees, obviously the late John Clayton. Groz is going to be awarded, be one of the honorees in this year's event, tonight's event. And then you have also the nominees. We don't know who they are. The winner of those is going to be, but we do know the nominees. So honorees we know. The winners of the nominees we don't know yet, but we are going to go over some of the biggest sports stories of the year. So you can find online at seattlesports.org the Sports Star of the Year nominees, the full list of women's sports, men's sports nominees, some names you guys will recognize obviously are like Mitch Haniger, Tyler Lockett, but there's plenty of important people on there. Sports Story of the Year is kind of what I want to focus on for this. First thing I'll tell you is this award show is very, very fun and a reminder at how kind of expansive, inclusive, but also expansive the sports community in Seattle can be. That it's not just looking at saying like, hey, Tyler Lockett, Seahawks, congratulations, even though he's nominated. It's looking at people of all ages who have participated in all kinds of sports and looking at their contributions on and off the field to kind of expand the world of sports.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really cool award show. It's hosted by tonight by Angie Mentink and Kenny Mayne, two amazing hosts. Very excited to watch them at work.
Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the sports stories. Nominated, I'm going to combine these two, though they are two different nominations. Climate Pledge Arena's grand opening has been nominated. Also nominated, the Seattle Kraken officially unleashed.
Okay, so the Seattle Kraken, you know, the first NHL team here in Seattle. I mean, it's pretty exciting, and obviously it was a monumental moment. You know, it wasn't the season that you were hoping that they would have, but still, it's an amazing thing. There's NHL hockey here in Seattle. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And excited to watch that and follow that, you know, over the next, you know, however many years and watch how they develop into hopefully a playoff team, right? That is competing for Stanley Cups. That would be amazing. What to you meant more? Having the Kraken start their season or climate pledge arena being redone from the Key Arena?
They
kind of go hand in hand.
They do, but I think for two different reasons. I think if you're an NHL fan, you were elated to have the Kraken here. I think having the Kraken here is exciting. I think, though, that the Climate Pledge Arena being a separate nomination is for many, many fans who feel like it's a step toward bringing back the NBA as well.
Yes, and that is why if you were to ask me, my pick would be the opening of Climate Pledge Arena. You know, if anybody has had the, you know, fortune of being able to go to a game, a Kraken game, or to be there at a concert. I mean, it is a world-class venue. It is pretty amazing to see what they have done. I mean, there is no remnants of the old Key Arena whatsoever. It is a beautiful state-of-the-art arena. And just the thought of hopefully one day not just having the NHL and watching successful hockey there, but also the opportunity to set the stage to have the Sonics back here in Seattle, that to me is absolutely special. And I think the signifier of having Climate Pledge Arena gets you one step closer to that, and that to me is big history for this city.
Also nominated, the Washington State University women's basketball, who in 2022 won 19 for the 21-22 season, the most wins in a season in the NCAA era in program history. They also appeared in the NCAA tourney for a second straight season.
Yeah, I mean, credit to them. I mean, it's no small feat, right? I mean, it's an incredible story for them, and I definitely worthy of being nominated for that award tonight. And I don't know if they'll win, but, I mean, it's certainly something that should be 100% celebrated.
You've got the University of Washington soccer reaches a national championship game. Men's soccer reaches a national championship game. UW volleyball's championship pursuit. OL Rain Quinn, who makes their Olympic history. It's a story about transgender inclusion in sports. You also have the Gonzaga men's basketball hitting 31-0. Phenomenal season from them, obviously. Wasn't the final outcome everyone wanted, but
nope.
The Zags are nominated as well.
Yeah. They should be nominated. It was an amazing year, but the fact that team finish the deal, I think, takes them out of contention of winning, but that's just me. It still wasn't a phenomenal year by Gonzaga, and I loved watching that year in particular. Corey Kispert was sensational along with many others, but I just wish the Zags could have sealed the deal and quieted down some of the haters that are out there.
I will say this. If you know nothing about the awards or most of the stories or nominees and you want to know more about them because you love sports and that's why you're listening right now, I encourage you to listen from 6 to 7 p.m. as Maura and I interview many of these people, talk about many of these stories, run you guys through the award show and everything that's going to happen. And then we're also going to have a live stream. I will not have outfit changes, although I'm debating it.
Man, that is such a bummer. That's what Curtis and I were banking on.
I was going to have like four different outfits as a segment. Just
we just needed a quick update. Who are you wearing tonight? Did you get somebody to step up and sponsor you?
Neither Armani nor Gucci reached out, which is
missed opportunity.
Frankly appalling.
Missed opportunity.
I left many voicemails with who I thought was their, what I thought was their office.
Did you or are you going to surprise everyone and roll out your own clothing line with this opportunity on the red carpet?
And I cannot answer it for legal reasons at this time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up, one MLB.
Because she's wearing the bootleg Gucci. It's the stuff you get on like the sidewalk in Times Square.
It's Gucci with a EY. Yeah. One MLB expert wonders whether the Mariners are missing leadership. Is that the case? And what did he say? That's next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.